Welcome to Alaska Edition, a weekly public affairs program produced by Alaska Public Media in the studios of KAKM.
Hello, and welcome to Alaska Edition on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Ellen Lockyer. This week's election in the Matanuska-Susitna borough took an unexpected turn. Ballots are still being counted, and the winner of the borough mayor's race is still hanging. Incumbent mayor Larry DeVilbiss is lagging behind challenger and former borough assemblyman Bern Halter. The race is close, and the outcome may be determined by the hundreds of absentee and questioned ballots still being counted. And the three cities within the borough had their own elections on Tuesday, also with some surprising results. We have a tie for one Palmer City Council seat and two very different views on marijuana retail businesses, as well as some sales tax questions that didn't do so well at the polls. All those events point to some changes in store for Valley residents, and we'll be taking a look at what may be down the road for them. But first, I'd like to introduce our guests. Delana Johnson is the mayor of Palmer. Hi, Delana.
Thank you.
Bert Cottle is the mayor of Wasilla. Hello, Bert. Greetings. And also with us, we have Maria Serrano. She's a 19-year-old who ran for the borough District 3 Assembly seat on Tuesday. Maria didn't win her first election, but she did well for a first-timer.
Thank you. Welcome, Maria.
So let's get down to it. We had this election. There was a lot of hoopla, a lot of campaigning, some very heavy campaigning in the borough. Sometimes the borough eclipses the events going on in the cities a little bit. But first, we'll recap the Matsu borough election. One of our video producers here, Casey Ellingson, ran into the valley, and she talked to quite a few people in the before the election this week, and she had the chance to talk to a few locals with about some of the big borough issues, primarily business, the port, and she's bringing us a video that will shed some light on what the issues are. Let's take a look.
The Matanuska-Susitna borough held their elections this past Tuesday. Residents voted on a number of issues, including who would fill the seat of borough mayor. By the end of election day, it was clear that incumbent mayor Larry DeVilbiss and borough assembly member Vern Halter were neck and neck for the spot. According to residents, some of the biggest issues facing the borough include budget, land use, and the port expansion projects that have been halted due to funding problems.
We've got a lot of land there that's been set aside for that port, and I think it's going to be a major player, not only for the valley, but I think for the whole state.
According to Crystal Nygaard, one of the co-founders of the Matsu Business Alliance, the funding for the port is the challenge.
With the state's current finances, it's going to be somewhat problematic. Mm-hmm. So I think that's an opportunity for the borough to start a dialogue about what other ports have done around the world.
One of the missions of the Matsu Business Alliance is to help privately owned businesses have a voice in local politics. Both Nygaard and Campbell hope to see more collaboration between the private sector and government in the coming years. Palmer resident and local business owner David Cheesham has owned Fireside Books for the past 15 years.
The Valley, I think, is the only area in the state that continues to grow and thrive, and it's a great community.
He, too, believes that collaboration is key. According to him, one of the biggest obstacles in the past 4 years has been the current mayor's readiness to use his veto power.
It's not just the vetoes, it's the approach. In the Valley, our tradition is to try to get to yes. I'm looking for the kind of leadership that says we're both on the same team and we just have some disagreements, but we can work together and pull together.
Absentee ballots are still in the process of being counted. Official results of the election will be announced on October 20th. This is Casey Ellingson in Anchorage.
Thanks, Casey. And that's a broad view, and I think it's important to note that the Matsu borough election, as the city elections, are nonpartisan. So each of the three cities has its own character. They're all very different, Houston, Wasilla, and Palmer. And I think most Anchorage people have been to all three, at least once. So Wasilla is located on the parks. It's an easy commute to Anchorage. It's also an easy commute the next up the other way for fishing and hunting. And Bert Cottle, you've been mayor there for a year.
Yes.
So tell us, what is a typical Wasillan? Is there such a thing?
Our mainstay is commercial retail businesses. We actually have more jobs inside the city than we have residents inside the city. And our challenge is, inside the city limits, we have 9,000 people who reside. We issued over 2,000 business licenses last year within the city by us, and but we service within a 10-mile radius 60,000 people. So that's our challenge, and as mentioned in the video, is we're the fastest growing area in the state. So that's our challenge, is how to meet this 60,000 transit. Our busiest street has 33,000 cars a day go through it. In a mile and a half grid, we have just over 81,000 cars in a mile and a half grid go through. So that's our challenge.
Wow, so you're saying transportation and you're on the traffic corridor, the main traffic corridor.
Yes.
And you mentioned jobs you have, but do many Wasillans commute to Anchorage, I take it, for jobs?
Or? Yes, there's a number that do commute to Anchorage, yes.
Now, how does the borough help you with roads and transportation and those kinds of things?
The borough, there's some secondary roads that the borough is in charge of. And then we have also city roads that we're in charge of. Like currently we have 15 miles of unpaved roads within the city that the city controls, along with another 15, 16 miles of paved roads. But there's a number of borough roads. We're just getting ready to open up a new borough city road, which is Mac Clap. That'll run between the Parks Highway and KGB. And that'll be open here in the next 10 days. So there's some partnerships that we've done. Phase two of the Parks Highway just got let. And Connect Construction got that. They'll start construction. That's from Church Road out to Pittman. And that'll start next summer. That's a two-year job. That's a $40 million plus job. So there's some state roads going on too, as far as improvements.
And KGB for our viewers is Connect Goose Bay Road, which is rated one of the most congested and most dangerous in the
there's
state.
There's 19,000 cars a day that utilize KGB, and that number is going to go up because of the new schools opening.
Right. And how does the city pay for, like, law enforcement? I take it you have your own law police force. How about, like, solid waste, garbage, sewer, those kinds of things? How
through the 2% sales tax, because the city has no property tax.
Okay.
We survive strictly on the 2% sales tax.
How did that come about? Tell us.
Through voters, through being fiscally responsible, through past councils, they said we'll do it off sales tax, which is paid for by people who utilize the services and not just the people who live inside the city.
Wow. So there was a sales tax initiative on the Wasilla ballot on Tuesday, and that was linked to funding for the new library. Can you explain what that was about?
2 years ago, we went to the voters and said we need to raise $15 million to construct a new library. The voters said yes, tax would sunset when we reached either December 31st of 2016 or once we accumulated $15 million through sales tax and outside services. I'm happy to report that we will have reached that $15 million goal 1 year early. We will sunset it a year early, and that would sunset the end of December of 2015. So what we did is we went back to the voters and said, do you want to, at that point, leave the extra 1 cent, a 3 cent total, that we've had for the last couple of years in place, and then utilize that money to forward fund future capital projects that would be approved by the public and through the council process. And at the approximately $6 million a year we collect per penny, of that $6 million, $4 million would be set aside for capital projects. And we went back to the voters and asked that question, and that failed. So when we sunset in December, it'll go back down to 2 cents.
So the voters did not want to keep it at the 3%.
Correct.
So, but that will not, would that, reducing it back to the 2%, would that cause the city any grief, any heartburn?
We'll reevaluate what we had projected to do, and we'll live within our means.
Mm-hmm. So let's move over to Palmer. Delana, you have been a mayor for 5 years in Palmer, and you've probably seen a lot of changes. And tell us a little bit about what life in Palmer is like.
Well, I have seen a lot of changes in the last 5 years. I think 5 years ago, there were a number of empty buildings. That's really changed. In Palmer, if you go to downtown, you'll have a hard time finding even commercial space that's available. We've been the seat of government for since the statehood, I mean, with the court and the Matsu Borough, seat of the borough, and so on. So we have about 1,500 employees that are state and borough employees that work in Palmer every day. But we are getting just more and more young professionals moving into Palmer, and it's just really thriving, kind of a downtown, kind of that downtown revitalization. A lot of people want to be close to the outdoors. They see Hatcher Pass kind of on our doorstep. So Palmer's got just a little bit different vibe going on, and it's exciting. I think it's what the future of our side of the valley is more, we're going to be seeing more and more younger people when they look to find a place, they're moving into the Palmer area.
Right, and although growth is happening all over the Matsu, I think Wasilla and Palmer being often referred to as the core area of the Matsu. But now Palmer has a history as an agricultural area, and how does that work with, like you said, a lot of young people moving in, looking for new houses? I know there's a bit of tension between the developers eyeing those cleared fields and the farmers who want to stay farming. Can you talk about that a little?
Yes. Obviously, when you develop something that's already been cleared, it's much easier. Palmer provides to the southern part of our town, we provide the utilities that make it easy to develop. So yes, I mean, there is that kind of pressure on the farm fields. One of the things, it's not really within our city limits, and it is private property, so the city has really no say in what happens with that. In the past, the city's given money to the Farmland Trust to look at how best and what actually the priority is to preserve. And then sometimes within the city, the discussion is, should we with public money purchase farmland to develop, you know, to put public buildings on? And so I think it's certainly part of our conversation when we talk about development and so on.
Right, how does the city draw the line though? I mean, actually, I've been in Alaska about 40 years now, and I can remember Palmer back in the 70s and as it is now, it's almost picture postcard adorable. And being on the Glen, it maybe does not have as much traffic going through. Does the city often feel pressure to, you know, maintain the historic look and the sort of bucolic fields?
I think the thing is that Palmer has, we're the most densely populated city in the state. We're 5 square miles. We're a very tiny little city limits for having such a big impact. And most of our actual land within the city is already built on. And so just by the nature of development, there's not going to be a lot of change. And there is that pressure. The question out there is how much just urban sprawl that, you know, is natural in a commuter location. We can't do much about that because we don't have the land use. We can't do anything with that. That's the borough. That's the outside of, or they're right on our doorstep. And I mean, it's things that concern me all the time, because things we can do within Palmer and the things that we can do with our zoning and so on, we're just a very short step away from the wild, wild west of the borough. And that's, you know, it's something that really the borough has to address,
right?
Or we need to annex and make it a larger city, and that's not, we've talked about that, and I don't see that in the real near future.
Right, and I think a lot of people outside the borough don't realize just how complex the overlapping governments are within the borough, where it could be perfectly legal to do something in Palmer, but not outside Palmer. Let's bring Maria into the conversation, and we will get back to some more borough issues in a minute. Maria, you are 19, and Maria Serrano, you ran for District 3 Assembly seat. You have a very strong background in volunteerism. So what prompted you to run for District 3? It's a pretty heavy-hitting district, I know that.
Yeah, you know, you look at the valley and you look at leadership in my community, and something I saw that was lacking was my generation not being represented. And I see that as a problem. You know, some people may think differently and think, you know, it's up to, you know, the 50, 60, 70-year-olds to take this on and, you know, be the core leadership here. But, you know, I see it as I can bring to the table a fresh perspective of leadership in the Valley. And I think that's something that's needed, you know. I want to ultimately raise my kids in the Valley. I was raised here, and I love Wasilla. I love Alaska. I don't want to leave. So it's really in my best interest to keep this place going, you know.
Right, so you're in school. I know you did a year at APU, and you're now at Mat-Su Community College studying paralegal. And you said you'd like to not have to leave the Valley. Do a lot of people your age talk about their future at staying here? Because in the past in Alaska, mm-hmm. we've seen the brain drain. We've seen a lot of college-educated, smart people move down to Seattle or someplace right. because the jobs were not here.
Right, yeah, no, and that's an issue too is, you know, I would love to see more kids, you know, feel, you know, like Wasilla is a place, the Valley is a place to stay, and it's a place to stay and work. A lot of the times you do see a lot of my classmates and people around my age group who, you know, want to go through school here maybe and then they leave or things like that, but, you know, if we could find a way to get, you know, our youth working with our businesses, I think we have opportunity for, you know, a really great flourishing community.
And you have a very strong background in volunteerism. I was very impressed doing some stories in the Valley how strong the volunteer yeah. groups are in addressing, you know, housing and homelessness, and those are practically all volunteers that, yeah. that take that on. So how would you, if say you had won, mm-hmm. the election, what would have been the issue you would have wanted to tackle?
You know, I think it's youth advocacy is something that I've always been really passionate about from a young age. And, you know, volunteering, you see a different perspective. You know, you see kind of the other side of the world. And, you know, I grew this empathy for a lot of the people, a lot of my classmates even. And so I feel like that's an issue that I would love to focus on if I were in, and things that I think that are important for our community.
Mm-hmm. And where did you get most of your support? You did pretty well at
yeah.
the polls there.
Yeah. You know, I got a lot of support, I think, from all spectrums, to be honest. You know, when I talked to people, when I went door knocking and, you know, when I spoke with a lot of people, it was all really positive. You know, I never met anyone who was rude, mean, anything like that. I got a lot of great feedback during that journey of campaigning, and it was a really awesome experience to see, you know, how excited people got to see someone of youth going out there and getting involved. And I think that excited a lot of people.
I think there's a focus on the future, obviously, for someone mm-hmm. your age. Would you see heavy development as one of the answers to creating more jobs in the Valley?
Yeah, development, absolutely. I mean, we're an extremely fast-growing community, and you know, it's my generation that's going to be coming up and buying homes and sending their kids to the schools and things like that. So, yeah, careful and safe development is definitely something that would help our community and our economy flourish, you know, along with, you know, business incentives and, you know, further infrastructure as well.
Okay, and what change would you most like to see? Say maybe in the next 10 years or so. You've got time.
I think the Valley has the potential of being really the heart of Alaska. With how fast growing we are and with how many people we do have, I think we have the ability to make us the staple of Alaska. People would want to come to the Valley and see what a success story we are. And I think in 10 years' time, you know, maybe 15, 20, that's a possibility that we could become, you know, this beautiful, you know, community where, you know, everyone else in Alaska are jealous of.
Well, the Valley is certainly unique. Let's turn back to some of the very serious issues here. I know, Bert, I'm going to address this to you. There was an issue about creating a sexual assault response team
that
was was dependent upon a borough contribution, I think, to the
right.
program. It came, it went, and honestly, I don't know what the outcome was. Can you address that? Because I know you were a strong proponent of the SART.
3 years ago, it was brought up that we had to take our sexual assault victims in the Valley. It sort of applied to Wasilla, Palmer, Houston, and borough residents. We had to transport the victims to Anchorage, to Providence, to have the examination. And to me, it was re-victimizing the victims. And there's a cost associated with it also. And to do a better job, we went to, at the time, Governor Parnell, and his administration put in $125,000 for the equipment. Mat-Su Borough put in $150,000. And the city of Palmer, the city of Wasilla, Mat-Su School District all put in $2,500, and the city of Houston put in $1,000 to get the program back up and running. And so since that time, both the city of Palmer and the city of Wasilla have continued to support it at a $2,500 level, along with the Mat-Su School District. And the borough has continued for the last 3 years also to support it at $150,000. So what happens is, so that program is in place now. We're trying to figure out how to, you know, it's always a funding issue. But it's also, it's the right thing to do for everybody, I believe. And the cities do too. I mean, all the cities agree. But it's just who pays for it. We need the service, who pays for it. And the borough's been very, very generous in giving us money for SART. And also the other one that we receive, and it's $150,000 a year. And we received $150,000 last couple of years also for a continuation of youth court as an alternative. Instead of, for lack of a better term, making somebody a career criminal, they have an alternative. And youth court is good not only for the defendant that's been charged, but also for the students who participate in it. It's a great program. And there's buy-in from law enforcement, there's buy-in from the DA's office, there's buy-in from the judges. It's a great program. But then again, who pays for it? And so we've always went in, the cities have, and said, you know, you collected, last year they collected $7.2 million, the borough did, in cigarette tax. And that basically goes into the general fund. And we've always said, you know, there's a couple things that affect everybody. It's not about cities versus borough. It's about, you know, the victims or the program itself. And that's been two programs we've been very successful, and we've had good assemblies that have said, you're right. Now they can't earmark that money out of the cigarette tax, but I mean, that's a good funding source, I believe. And it's, like I said, last year was $7.2 million, and they just expanded it to also, I think, now to e-cigarettes, so I would look for that to go up. And I think that's a good give back to the communities. Right.
So that's a good example of the borough and the city working together on a social issue that's very pressing.
I think we do. I think all the cities work well with the borough. I mean, it's like any family. I mean, you're going to have disagreement, but at the end of the day, we're all trying to get to the same place.
And Delana, your city ballot did have an interesting initiative regarding retail sales and manufacture of marijuana products within the city. And the voters upheld the ban. So tell us about that. Wouldn't a marijuana retail have brought some extra taxes to Palmer?
Well, I don't know that we know for sure. We haven't crunched the numbers. We certainly didn't budget for it because we didn't know what was happening. We didn't know what was coming down the pipe from the state. But they did. We had a voter initiative that came forward and that was upheld by the voters. So we won't see commercial sales of marijuana within the city. My biggest concern is we are small city limits, and we have the borough right on our doorstep. Without that passing in the borough, and wasn't on the borough ballot, we have potential of having stores with just right on our doorstep and no way to decide what the signage might be or anything about that. So, because I expect if I were opening a store, you would put it right on the doorstep, close to the population center as you could. And so it remains to be seen. But yes, that did pass, and we had a good turnout. But
Well, it's interesting. You had a good comment in the Alaska Dispatch News. You said, well, you didn't want to see retail marijuana signs going up across the street from the state fair grounds. I thought that was a good insight. But on the other hand, right up the road in Houston, the voters virtually turned down almost exactly the same city initiative on their ballot. So again, it's an illustration of how something could be illegal in one area of the borough and be perfectly fine in another. And the borough, I believe, does not have a marijuana ordinance yet. They're working on it.
I think they're supposed to be on the ballot next year for the borough, mm-hmm. but I mean, we're probably going to see Houston being the place you go to buy fireworks and perhaps marijuana. So, and we'll find out if they have the highest revenue in the state. That will be to their advantage.
23% of the Houston voters turned out for that. They had the top turnout, I think, of the Valley. Well, we are running short on time, and Maria, I'd like to bring you in for a final comment. You have a strong background in working for the community. How would you encourage people to get involved?
Well, I think getting involved in my early years and through high school, you know, I can't stress how much it's helped me now and in my life. And getting involved in your community, you know, it comes back in so many ways in your own life, you know, maybe professionally, and just really just that cheesy inside feeling you get. You know, when you really do something good for your community, you know, because it's relevant. And this is something that I believe isn't stressed enough about kids in my community. It's a relevant thing to be a part of your community.
Right. Well, we are running out of time. Thanks for tuning in to Alaska Edition. I'm your host, Ellen Lockyer. Look for us next week, and we will have some more very insightful comments and discussions with local folks. Thank you.
If you have questions or comments about the program, you can email Alaska Edition at alaskapublic.org or write us at 3877 University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska, 99508. Alaska Edition is a production of KAKM. The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily represent those of KSKA, KAKM, the licensee, or their underwriters.